Thanks, Steve. Tom Appel is here, our friend who has not one but two great websites, consumerguide.com and cgdailydrive.com. He's here to talk about the 1 billion and 18th annual Chicago Auto Show.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
They've been running that for a while.
You know, I saw the number. What year is it really?
I think it's the 107th.
It's the 107th,
yeah.
And my first thought is always, I don't think they had cars 107 years ago.
They did.
Yes, they did.
They must have, because they had an auto show.
There was like six of them, though. It was a really small show.
Preview night was 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That's it. You just walk past and go, that's what we're going to have in 50 years.
Yeah, the charity ball was a guy with a bucket.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Was this year, you know, every year they try to outdo themselves. They show you more and better product. Was that the case again this year?
It really is, yeah. This was an especially fun Chicago auto show. A lot of new stuff to see there. And for the little boy in all of us, or in me, there's a lot of good stuff.
Or the little girl.
Mm-hmm. Well, but little boys get more excited about big trucks.
Okay, all right.
I hate to do the gender thing here, but my daughter doesn't care. So I'm basing everything on that.
All right.
My daughter just doesn't care.
What'd you see with the big
trucks? And Bill.
Trucks?
Bill doesn't really care about big trucks either.
Yeah, big trucks. I currently am driving a Jeep, and they explained to me as I was thinking about buying it the capabilities of it driving off-road, and my wife laughed so hard I thought she was going to pass away.
And they talked about the hitch on it, too, didn't
yeah,
they? To tow something.
There's hooks in the front and the back.
Like, what?
Yeah.
In case you get stuck off-roading.
Yeah.
Because 99% of tow hooks never get used.
Is that right?
I don't know that number. I bet it's close to 99.
I wouldn't know how to tow somebody, seriously,
yeah.
If everything I owned was about to sink into a lagoon and they go, you have to tow that out.
In a lagoon?
I'm done.
Yeah. I'm going to drown. Yeah.
So what did you see in that category? What was there in the big trucks?
The fun stuff. Well, we have the Ford GT. We'll start with that, which is a car. That's a return of the GT sports car, which was a return of the GT40 sports car from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But they showed that in Detroit. They brought it to Chicago, and it's gorgeous. It's a little kid point-and-go-wow kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah, so that's the Ford GT.
How much does it look like the GTs of old?
Surprisingly, it's a pretty good heritage-looking car.
They wanted it to stay true to its roots.
Is that what it looks like?
Yeah, there's a picture
of it. That's pretty kick.
Wendy's showing us a picture. You buy this now, you think somebody's got a vintage car, but that's on purpose.
That's a Ford?
Yeah. No, that is the Ford GT. That's actually the second generation GT you're looking at.
Oh, my God. But you can Google along with us while Tom Appel is talking.
What does something like that cost?
No word on price yet. Yeah. I guess it's going to be about $250,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just out of our range.
Just a little bit out.
Just out by about $220,000.
As an auto writer, I'm almost there.
Bill, look at that as the upgraded version. For
yeah,
20...
that's a good-looking car.
Oh, that's the one.
Yeah.
Holy moly, that's a Ford.
Yeah. So you get the point factor. People are going to go down there and point at it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then walk away sad.
And I mean, if you're spending that kind of money, I guess you don't care about fuel economy and stuff like that, do you? That doesn't
or a
even...
house.
Right. Right.
Funny story, that. No, most I suppose that fuel economy is not a primary concern, but Ford is branding their EcoBoost engine and putting that in this.
Yeah.
So it is EcoBoost powered, which is...
What does that really mean?
Yeah.
EcoBoost is their turbocharged and direct injected engine that they're putting in a lot of vehicles for improved fuel economy. So they're extending that up to their supercar now.
So like 7 miles a gallon?
It's fairly decent, isn't it?
In that kind of car?
Wow. Let's guess the EPA. I'm going to say the city number comes in at 16. That's my guess.
All right.
Yeah.
And then for the highway, you're getting just a couple miles more.
It's probably going to be like 18.
Yeah, not a lot.
It won't be good.
No.
Still, to be driving in that, when will we see that on the roads?
Later this year.
Wow.
Oh, that's quick.
Yeah.
And that's the one that was the big hit in Detroit not long ago. That's the one everybody was buzzing about from Detroit. Good.
And they brought it over, which is nice. So everyone in Chicago could see it.
What did you see, Tom, that if they said to you, there's no restriction on money, we're just going to give you a car and you can have this car, what would that car be?
I still have the kid. I still go on trips with the family. So a vehicle I really like, all new in Chicago, is the Acura RDX, small luxury crossover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that like? What does that have?
Acura about 2 years ago for their mid-cycle, they put a V6 into it instead of a turbocharged 4.
Mm-hmm.
Much smoother, much more refined drivetrain. This year it's updated, new styling, new interior. I haven't driven it yet, but it's just a good-looking, fun car.
You know, the car that I'm currently driving, I got a Jeep, and I've never had a V6 engine before. I've always had V4s, and I thought, I don't know that it'll be that noticeable a difference. It is that noticeable a difference.
It really is, yeah. And there is the whole world of small turbocharged 4s coming online that feel like V6s.
Mm-hmm.
But a V6, just the immediate power is satisfying.
What about the world of electricity when it comes to cars? Are they showing anything at the auto show that's really a giant step forward in terms of electric cars?
Yeah, a couple of things are here. The BMW i8 is now out. That's BMW's hybrid sports car that looks a little bit like a cross between a supercar and a Nike.
Mm-hmm.
In a good way, though. Mm-hmm. I think it actually looks very cool. Very modern looking.
I've seen it in commercials. There's a commercial running for it now. It looks like an interesting car.
Yeah, it's a fascinating car.
What's that do?
It's a blast to drive. It's supercar fast and it gets pretty good fuel economy. It's actually a 3-cylinder gasoline engine supplemented by electric engines.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a fascinating bit of tech.
So for a while, we'll have cars that have both capabilities.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be the next. Is that going to be the next 10 years, do you think?
It's going to be a while, I think. Like Chevy just showed the new Chevrolet Volt, and that's in Chicago, too. And that's really just a refinement of the current Volt. So it does seem like, while that isn't an interesting car, and if you own a Volt, you definitely want the new one. A little bit bigger in back, a little bit more range, better gas mileage when it's working on gas. But it is a slow evolution.
And longer charges with the electricity, too, in terms of you get more mileage with each electrical charge, don't you? Are they working on that a bit?
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, the range of the Volt when they first launched it was 35 miles. Mm-hmm. Now they're talking closer to 50.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still not that much. Where I guess, how long does it take to recharge? So if you have a 100-mile trip, you have to stop halfway, and then how long do you have to recharge it before you can get back on your trip?
If you have a charging station, about 4.5 hours.
So what, do you go do it overnight? You can't drive straight through anywhere then, can you?
Well, you can in the Volt, because the big deal about the Volt is there's the gasoline engine.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So it's got about 300 miles of range on gasoline. So that's why the Volt works as an electric vehicle, sort of as this intermediary vehicle.
Are parking lots or garages or anything around the city now making that available to people who have electric cars?
Yes. It's usually the first 4 or 5 to 10 spots that nobody parks in.
Yeah.
There's a few of them downtown.
There is.
And we all laughed at Ed Begley Jr. when he talked about an electric car.
I know. Now we have to find other reasons to laugh at Ed Begley Jr., Tom.
He's funny. He was on Portlandia and was really pretty funny on it.
Yeah, he was the punchline to everybody's joke 10 or 15 years ago, and now he's a genius.
Now he's hip.
Yeah, he is.
Who knew?
Well,
Tom Appel.
I don't know about that.
We'll vote on that. Tom Appel is here, auto expert, fine writer for ConsumerGuide.com and CGDailyDrive.com. We're talking about the Chicago Auto Show. Jump in, 312-981-7200. That's the call line and the text line. More in a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. The best part of your Clara Peller impression was when you turned around and you came back to my side, and I thought, it's Clara Peller. I always wonder why impressions do that. Now I know why. Tom Appel is here. Not one, but two great websites that Tom writes for, ConsumerGuide.com and CGDailyDrive.com. Let's say somebody has within their budget $25,000 to $30,000. What's the car for them?
You know, there's this whole new class of vehicles, and I think we talked about it the last time I was here, and that's these mini sport utilities that are coming out now. There's the Jeep Renegade, the Honda HR-V, the Chevy Trax, and soon the Mazda CX-3. I love these. They take up less space than a Corolla or a Civic, but have more space inside. Great turning radiuses, easy to park, but I think if you live in the city, you don't carry a lot of passengers, although there is some space, these are perfect vehicles. And $25,000 is about the starting point there.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all. When we last talked to you, Tom, you had mentioned that the rules in, I want to say Illinois, it's not Cook County, I think of all of Illinois, changed to give you the benefit of leasing a car as opposed to buying a car.
That more is car now in for effect. Less money.
Yep.
Yeah, the leasing thing was a big deal because before in Illinois, you paid a lease, you paid tax on a lease on the entire purchase price of the vehicle. Which kind of stinks because you're buying it for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
Now you pay tax, sales tax, only on the total sum of the lease payments plus the down payment.
That's a much better deal.
Yeah, so your tax dropped by approximately half.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's
good.
Huge.
And that's in effect now. People can take advantage of that now. Good.
Yeah, big deal.
All right.
I have a question, though, about even though you save money on leasing, there's something to be said for buying your car and paying it off, because then when you get to the end of your loan, you have no car payments for maybe a year or two or three. This is for someone who keeps their car a long time.
Which is awesome.
It is really nice to drop that payment.
Yeah. One of the things that leasing works for is, I think, if you just don't have the down payment up front, or you're just trying to spend as little as possible on a car.
Or you like a new car very frequently, is that for someone like that?
Yeah, and there and things I don't understand as well, but there are business reasons for it as well. But that's a little out of my purview. But yeah, I for one like owning a car that I don't have payments on.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
I've only had it happen once in my life, but boy, is that nice when it happens. We invited people, if they have any calls or any questions for Tom, to join us at 312-981-7200. Those calls are lining up. Can we talk to Brian?
Yeah. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how you doing, Tom and Bill and Wendy? How's it going?
Good.
Excellent.
Great. I have a Jeep Wrangler, and just recently there's been some bad press about that car from Consumer Reports. And, you know, like Bill, you know, I love my Jeep. I drive it in the summer with his convertible, or winter as a four-wheel drive. So I was just wondering what's the problem there?
Well,
why did the Consumer Reports slam it?
If you bought a Wrangler, you bought a Wrangler knowing what you were getting. For people who don't know, but most people do, the Wrangler is a serious off-road vehicle, perhaps the most serious off-road vehicle that's street legal. And if you bought one, you know that it doesn't ride quite as well. It doesn't make great use of interior space. It's a little bit narrow inside. Truckee ride, poor fuel economy.
Now tell us the bad stuff, Tom. Yeah. There must be some negatives.
I wanted the four-door real badly, and I have not test-driven it, and someone said, just do that. And again, know what you're getting into.
Know what you're getting into. I want a Wrangler.
Yeah.
I love driving a Wrangler.
You do have a four-door, Brian?
Yeah, I love it. It's great.
It's
and the
so
kids
cool.
love it in the summer. You take the top off.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's a great car.
Yeah, and I think that the problem is it's a compromise, and people know that. And I think that if you're looking at a Wrangler, test drive it, make sure that that works for you. And then also take the top off because it's awesome.
You know, I have something, and this is probably really, it really sounds ridiculous, but it's perfect coming from me. I get car sick if a car is too smooth. I really,
really
do.
Yeah,
because when you're bouncing around, if it's too smooth, I don't know what it is. So I would like the bouncing around. It's not like a smooth
Wendy
ride.
Currently drives a rickshaw, Tom, which she enjoys very, very much. But it's a good, you like the Wrangler, right, Brian? There's no downside as far as you're concerned.
As far as I'm concerned, no. And, you know, Wendy, you can take the doors off, and if you go around a corner real quick, you just fall right off the side of the car.
That's fun.
You know, it's a fun car.
Well, that's good when I'm fighting with Jimmy Mack. If I don't like what he's saying,
right.
I'll just turn the other way. Yeah. Thank you for that tip, Brian.
You know what, though, Tom? I also test drove the Wrangler. I went with a Trailhawk, but I test drove the Wrangler. And here's the problem I had. My last two cars were convertibles, and I love a convertible. But when the top was down on this, it had weird crosswinds as you were driving that I couldn't get used to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, was that the four-door or the two-door?
I drove one of each.
Yeah, okay.
And I felt it in both.
Yeah, you're very exposed in the Jeep, and I love that. I used to own a CJ7.
Did you?
I'm all about the Jeep experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
they've been very pleasant for us.
I'm just surprised when people buy them and they're like, it rides rough. I'm like, yeah, it does. That's why you should have test driven it.
What was the biggest surprise for you at this year's auto show? What threw you a little bit?
There's a concept I really like, and not because of the concept. It's the Kia Trailster.
What is that?
And it's an electric off-road concept based on the Kia Soul.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to build an electric off-roader, but what I like about it is that I like the Kia Soul very much, and I like the idea of it eventually being available with all-wheel drive, which I think this heralds.
I was telling you about, I was asking you actually about charge stations. Is that the right terminology?
Yeah, charging stations, sure.
I just saw something, and I don't remember where in Asia it is, but they said there are now more places to charge your car than there are gas stations. How about that? That happened fast.
The electric car thing is happening faster in China.
Why is that?
Largely because they got to the car party late.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're sort of an emerging economy, and people started buying cars there, electric cars were already part of what they were doing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was specifically about China, but China does have a more developed charging infrastructure than we do.
Now, is Kia still a less expensive car than other brands? And the Hyundai, I know, and I've seen the Hyundais, they have come a long way. They really have. Wasn't that like a very low-priced car when the Hyundai first came out?
Yeah, the Hyundais in the late 80s were frankly terrible. And they were a deal, but they really weren't a good deal. They've come a long way since then. And Hyundai Kia, I think, are just cross-shopped with any other brand now.
Really?
Yeah, and the Kia K900, which is a Consumer Guide Best Buy for 2015, is their full-size luxury car. And that's a good deal, but it is also every bit a luxury car. Nice car, big sedan.
How did they turn it around? I love to see when companies do that, but what did they do to realize if we want to compete, we have to change things?
Both Kia and Hyundai, which are now the same company.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're different brands in the United States, and they're treated differently by their marketing departments. But it took a long time, but what they were always doing was reaching up market. So any car they had, they always had some upscale version, or they were making upscale versions of cars, and they were just slowly convincing people that, hey, they can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took a while.
Do they still have we have not been, Wendy nor I have been to this year's auto show, but in the past they do, there's test tracks and stuff. They still do that sort of thing?
Yeah, Jeep's got one, Toyota's got one.
You can't drive on it, though, right? Somebody drives
They're
you?
Escorted, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a little of the fun out of it, but the Jeep one's especially worth it.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got my Jeep Grand Cherokee that's got almost 170,000 miles on it, and it's still plugging along, although it didn't want to start that well this morning. But it was cold.
It's cold.
Yep. Tom, always great to see you.
Thank you.
It sounds like a great time over at the auto show, and that auto show, the Chicago Auto Show, runs through this Sunday.
Yeah, right? Sunday night, yeah.
Very, very good. Read Tom's work at a couple of different websites, consumerguide.com and then cgdailydrive.com. Both of them are really, really great websites. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.